Good morning, and welcome here. The last song was talking about perfect peace and rest. I said that only applies for the guys that aren't speaking. I don't know why. If I could just preach from my couch, I'd do wonderfully. But and it's a funny thing, because if I met you all one-on-one and personally, there's no one here that really scares me or that, you know, would misuse me. But anyway, this is life. So I'd like to talk about something that's very practical this morning. And it's on the subject of trust, the word trust and what it means in our lives personally. It's a foundational principle for life. And if you think about it, if you just step outside of Christian thought and you think about marriages, relationship between your boss and you, or you if you have employees, if you have an element of trust there, those relationships thrive, right? In the absence of trust, all you have left is legislation. And that is a long, hard road to go down. Now, coming back to our own lives personally, the Bible talks to us about trust. A lot of times the Bible will say, trust me. God will reach out to us and say, trust me, trust me. And God doesn't say, trust me or else. He says, trust me because I want to bless you. If you will learn to trust me, you can experience things in your life that otherwise you will not. So it's not the hammer and the anvil effect. It's the, if you will reach out and believe me, I can do things in your life that you never knew were possible. And if you go back to the Garden of Eden, in principle, the whole subject around the tree there with hath God said was basically the issue of trust, right? They chose Satan's words over God's words. They reneged in their belief, and you know, here we are today. As we remember Christ this morning, that is trust being restored, right, in our own lives. Redemption and salvation is the effort of God rebuilding trust with his people. But he wants to take us deeper into that, and so I'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. At the end, because I want this to be fairly practical, and so some of you might need a little more time to think about your verse, but at the very end of the message, I'd like you all to think about a promise of God that's personal for you, something that God has shown you. I'm not going to ask for you to stand up and but just think about that verse and maybe think about where you got to go to put your finger in, because when we close, we're going to loop around to that. Okay, so if you need a little bit of time, but if you turn with me to Romans chapter 15, there's a verse here that kind of started off my thinking. Actually, maybe to condense that a little bit, when I got thinking about trust, actually, initially, it actually started on a Wednesday night. I was asked to pray in the, you know, on the list, and one of the groups of people that were on my list was those that are sick amongst us. And I made the observation when I was reading that list that some of these people have been on this list a long time. As long as I've been here, some of them have been on the list, I think. And then I remembered back to a time in my life where I was also going through a time like that. And, you know, when you pray and you seek God for things and you don't immediately get answers, it requires endurance and your trust is put to the test. And that's, and if I would speak to a particular group of people this morning, maybe I would say it would be to those who are wrestling with something significant in their life, that, you know, that they're not forgotten by God. But anyway, Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse makes two points in my way I see it. It says that all hope, joy, and peace, they flow out of God Himself. They don't come from within us. They're from tapping into our Father via the conduit of the Holy Spirit that witness in our spirit. And so just with that in mind now, let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 17. And there's a mind picture here I'd like to look at for a while, just to draw some points and thoughts from. And it says, God gave us an example out of nature on how trust works. And so Jeremiah 17, verse 7, says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And you can say, okay, that's good. And whose hope is in the Lord. And that's another good thing to say. That's sound, I think. And then it says here, and then here we have the example of how to move those two statements practically into our life. He says, for he should be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. God has compared our life experience to a tree. In the literal sense, our lives are like trees. And I like to point out, like, often when you go to the Christian store and you go buy pictures with verses on them, if you have any kind of trusty type verses, they always have like this massive old oak there, right? And it's supposed to give the idea, I guess, that, you know, these things are time tested, right? But the Bible doesn't actually talk about the size of the tree. This morning, you could feel like a one-leaf sapling, right? But the principle that the Bible is speaking about is still the same, right? Whether you're an old, steady believer or you're just getting your roots down for the first time. So don't be intimidated by the fact that the tree could be big. It doesn't say this is for big trees. It just says your life is like a tree. And it's planted by the water. So if you go to nature and to science, what does that tell us? Well, we know that the reason the tree goes to the water is because the laws of nature, the root goes into the water, and we have capillation, where water can go up the tree, and I think it's called, what is it when the moisture goes out of the leaves? That transpiration. Help me out, some of you high school students, if you weren't sleeping in that class. But you get the principle. But the water is really only the conduit. The tree is not made up of water. It's made up of the nutrients that come out of the river, dissolved nutrients, and the nutrients that have been dissolved in the earth. And it's the water then that takes up the nutrients, then goes up into the tree, and that's how you get green leaves and big trees and the amazing things that we see. So, God says our life is like a tree. Trusting in God is the water in the river of life, right? We have a river of life that we can tap into. But the Christian life is very practical, right? It's not a hypothetical thing. When you're going through something in life, you want real answers, not good ideas, right? You want the confirmation of God in your own heart, not a theory, right? And so the message here is that just like the tree reaches into the river and uses the laws of nature to bring nutrients into its life, as we reach out to the promises of God and trust it, the trust in the promise is then the power that God uses to bring it into our lives. So, and another thing God doesn't say here is that he requires great trust. He just asks for an effort to trust. You know, there's a lot of Satan is very cruel when he comes to us, and sometimes we don't believe the truth about what God is expecting. He asks us to put our trust, the trust that we have, the level that we have, in the truth. And by that, then we experience the vitality of the Christian life, like the tree does. And if you go down here, if you move down in the end of verse 8, and it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green. You know, the heat, maybe I should go down a little further, and it will not be anxious in the drought, in the year of drought. What are the droughts of life? You know, they're not always bad things. Sometimes the drought of life is just being a busy mom and you're just kind of overwhelmed with doing mom things. Sometimes it's being a dad and you're drive into your driveway and you just heard that there's something like inflation in the economy and you wonder, well, how am I going to pay my bills and feed my family? You know? I was looking at you. I was thinking, we have some elders here. You know, it might be looking into your flock and seeing a skinny sheep and not sure how to feed it. You know? We have vexations of many kinds. That's why when you think about the promise, your own promise, from our own experience, we probably wouldn't all pick the same verse, right? Because we all need something personal, right? And you can think of your own thing. I mean, depending what laws get passed, you might be broke. Who knows? But God says, trust me, because you are mine, I will take care of you and I will protect you and I will lead you to a place and in a place where you can thrive and be, you'll be mine. I will never forget you. I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. But you need to trust me. And that was kind of the core of what was on my heart this morning. Is like, you know, like I said before, Satan is cruel. He brings doubt, he brings fear, and he wants to sever that. He wants to cut you off at the roots, cut your life off, because he knows that you will wither and die. In the last verse, at the end of verse 8, it says, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know, that's an interesting thing. Like, you read the New Testament, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? How many times have you looked at your life and looked for fruit? It's like, do I have any fruit? Like, because, you know, if you don't bear fruit, you get cut off, right? There's also a chapter like that. And you go fruit looking in your life, right? I've done that. So, man, am I really a temperate man? Like, is there any love in my life? I don't know. And we go from the outside and we look in on our own lives, and that's actually a mistake. Notice here that the tree bears fruit because of the other things that it did. The fruit is actually a byproduct of the tree's health. Trees don't bear fruit for their own benefit. Trees bear fruit as a byproduct of the benefits they've already experienced, right? And it's the same in our own lives, right? I could probably make a life's calling about learning how to be temperate. That would be the one that always flashes up when I read to Ron, you should learn some temperance. Because I like lots of stuff. So, you know, and I could make a whole life of learning to be temperate. But the truth is, God says, trust me and believe me. Accept the promises that I've given you. Stop worrying about saving up for a rainy day as much, right? And then out of my life will flow temperance, because the life of Christ and the truth of Christ is now in me as my main focus. So fruit is a byproduct of what the tree has already experienced. It's the surplus, and the fruit of the tree is for the benefit of those who pass by. Animals, people, depending what fruit's on the tree, I guess. But, you know, if you think of an apple tree, it's the best place to hunt, right? Yeah, because everybody in the forest knows that if the rain came, there's lunch. And that's also why we admire men and women of God who have walked that road. We like the influence they give us because of that very principle, right? They're not shallow, empty-minded people. They have something to say. And we say, yeah, you know, that makes sense. I want to be like you. And then they say, no, you want to be like Jesus. And we go from idolatry to worship. You know, people are funny that way, right? But the point is trusting. This is the principle. So I'm going to turn to my verse. You turn to your verse of promise. We'll end there. If you don't have one, you can turn to mine. It's in 1 John 4. First John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So for a man who thinks a lot about temperance, you might be able to connect this. You look into the world scene and you say, man, I'm a very insignificant person. I don't think I can do, you know. And as you look at all the problems you see around you and all the issues, you see that your ability to maybe make a great change becomes less and less and less significant. I don't know if you ever felt very insignificant, but the point isn't, it's not about Ron, right? It's about that he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. A brother, one of them's mentioned that, I have overcome the world. Jesus said that, right? who is in us. It's Christ. He has overcome the world. So it's the life of Christ in me that will overcome. Not necessarily the world as the globe, but the world that's fighting me at my front door, right? The issues that Satan wants to take down, take me down with. So you have your verses. I have mine. And what I'd just like to encourage you with is to remember the tree and the verse you have. And reach out to God and say, teach me how to bring that into my own life so that I can flourish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that because you are a good father and you always take good care of your children, we trust you this morning that you will meet all our needs today. And help us to trust you and believe in you and take you with us everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.